Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And if you're catching us on a digital network, and we're all over the place, so if you are, we ask you to please share. We have good people, but ignorant people of politics, and we got to wake them up to really what's going on. And today we're going to really hit the spiritual aspect of things with regard to Trump versus Kamala. There's some weird stuff going on. And we've got a great guest for you, Gary Michael Voris. And he's going to go through and talk about that. And we'll come back and introduce Gary in just a second. But as you know, we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And as you also know, I've been an advertiser for 8 years. And I've been an advertiser or a customer for seven. Hey, listen, I saw the banks having trouble 7 years ago. And I said, Noble Gold, can you help me in this and that? They can help you with retirement. They can help you with your bank account. They can get your retirement out of the bank, which the banks are going to take one day. The Dodd-Frank Law 2010 lets them. And let me tell you, if you don't take it out now and back it with something that'll last, like gold instead of the failing dollar, then you could have a 1929 moment. I don't want that for anybody. So I want you to call and explore your options with them, and you'll have to close your own deal. They are trained not to be aggressive. I remember my first experience. I said, okay, I'm ready to go now. Mr. Hodges, anything else? Oh, no. Okay. I had to close my own deal. You will too. They're the best people to work with, but the most knowledgeable. Give them a call, 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. And if you're seeing this on social media, the contact information will be in the description box. Well, our guest, we're honored to have him back, Gary Michael Voris. He hosts In Depth at Souls and Liberty, a Catholic patriotic conservative news outlet. He holds a graduate degree cum laude from Pontifical University St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. So I think the spiritual part of it's starting to come out here just in the intro.
Just a little bit.
yeah. Well, Gary's earned multiple awards, 40 plus years as a journalist. And he's been in the mainstream media, but don't judge, because look at there's Carrie Lake and there's Gary. Okay. And you're gonna get the honest truth from Gary. He's been associated with the Associated Press, Detroit Press Club, Michigan Broadcasters Association, four news Emmys. Huh? How's that? I think that's pretty good. I could go on and on, but I want to hear more about what he has to say. Gary, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back on.
Thank you very much, Dave. I really appreciate it. God bless you for your work and all of your listeners and supporters, viewers. Folks got to get out there. This is it. I mean, this is the all the marbles right here. It's fourth down and goal. There's 1 second left on the clock. You got the ball to 2 yard line. You're trailing by five. You punch it in and you win, or you fail and you lose and it's over and that's it. It's one or the other. And I
You
went to
know,
Notre Dame, so of course I'm going to use every football analogy I can possibly think of. Especially since I can apparently use football analogies better than the Irish can move the ball, but not that I'm bitter. We'll move on.
that was a tough game against Northern Illinois.
Calling it a game, Dave, is, I mean, that's giving it way too much credit. It was horrible. But anyway, your audience isn't here to listen to me, be near suicidal over that loss.
You know, there's a bigger upset brewing than Northern Illinois defeating a really good Notre Dame team. And I mean, they're really good people. Northern Illinois, who exactly? But there's a bigger upset. And the upset is I never thought that we would allow forces inside of our country to destroy it. And I totally agree with you, Gary. This is for all the marbles. The next 3 to 5 months will decide the future of this country.
Yep, that's absolutely it. There's a number of issues here just to, excuse me, just to sort of lay things out for the audience. Of course, we have the run-up to Election Day, but before Election Day, we're into election season. First ballots are being mailed out next week. There's a deadline, if you want to think of it that, well, think of that terms because it is. There's a deadline of September 18th. All ballots that are going overseas from every state, because it's the states that issue the ballots, all 50, because it's not one national election, it's 50 statewide elections that all happen in the nation on the same day. So all 50 states have to send their ballots to all the people, all the military from their respective state overseas. The deadline for that's September 18th. So who's on the ballot is on the ballot. Who's not on the ballot is not on the ballot. That's it. We've drawn the line. Boom. The opening gun has gone off. There's your teams. Early voting commences very quickly after that, like very quickly. And so we've gone from election day. And David, you're certainly, old enough like I am to remember when, everybody would vote on the same day, a little trickle of, absentee votes, mostly military. And you'd go to bed that night. Sometimes it was late, 1, 2 in the morning, but you knew who won. And it was over, and you went to bed, and that was it. And there was no big deal. Now it's this big drama and circus and everything else. So we have election season. So the ballots go out, and now people start voting. And of course, there's the, are you dropping them off at the clerk's office? Are you putting them into the mailboxes? How many are you ballot harvesting? Who's on the voter rolls? All of this stuff before we even get to November 5th. Then we arrive at November 5th. And probably all the estimates seem to point to about a third of all of the votes, a third to a little less than half of all the votes for the 2024 campaign will be cast on election day, which means somewhere between, 50 and 66% of the ballots are all coming in prior to that. And if you're in Pennsylvania, who knows, like a week or two later, that's fine too. So election day has really turned into election season. And after the election day, November 5th is done, there's approximately 10 weeks to go before the inauguration. And of course, there's the run up to the January 6th date of the counting of the Electoral College votes, in the Capitol, in DC. So there's all these various stop points. So, if the Democrats want to do some shady stuff, they have plenty of places to do shady stuff. Now, why do they want to do shady stuff? Well, because the devil's their father, and they hate humanity. They hate God. They hate you. They hate your family. They hate your children. They hate freedom. They hate all the virtues. They hate everything. They can smile. That's why it's always funny. Everything the Democrats do and say, just do it 180 degrees, and that's what the truth is.
That's true.
It's the campaign of joy. No, it's actually the campaign of hate. And as we move through this, I don't really think enough Christians, be they Catholics or Protestants, and of course all the various denominations available for, in Protestantism, any of those and Catholicism, I don't know that there's an awful lot of voters who claim Christ as their chief shepherd who vote accordingly, who even know, and they don't understand that they seem to have to have, or they don't seem to understand they have a duty, a moral obligation to not just vote, but vote rightly. And, all of this just seems to be lost on a really kind of brain dead sort of culture. I mean, this is a giant election for nothing. I mean, you've got all this drama surrounding it, an assassination attempt. It's Trump again, Biden's switcheroo with, Kamala. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. Forgetting the spiritual impact of it for a moment, just like reading through the history books, you couldn't ask for a more dramatic campaign ever in American history. And yet, still only about 60-ish percent, 60 to 65% of people are estimated to vote. What are the other third of you doing? And I'm also puzzled by the fact that in such a clear-cut choice here, I mean, this is globalism slash communism and control of all of the institutions and the elites and the oligarchy versus the little guy and limited government. I mean, that's the choice couldn't be more stark. I don't understand how, according to the recent over the weekend, the New York Times Siena College poll came out. There's like 18 people that aren't 18% of people really aren't quite 100% committed to whatever side they have. There's still I don't knows, and well, I'm leaning towards this person, but I might switch and vote for that one. I'm like, what? I mean, did you just literally crawl out from under a rock after being high and drunk for 3.5 years? I don't get it.
Yeah, Gary, what amazes me is how anyone could vote for Kamala after they've gone to the grocery store or filled up their tank with gas. It's just amazing. They can forget the political issues. Just sheer economic survival would say, I'm not going to listen to someone that says, don't look at my last 4 years. Look at what I'm lying to you about now.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, as lawyers will say when they catch somebody, committing perjury or having to, fess up to the fact that they'd lied in the past. The question is, well, were you lying to us then, or are you lying to us now? And that's really it. I mean, that's what the line is. And it'll be interesting to watch, tomorrow night's debate. I mean, it's the two moderators from ABC who hate Trump's guts, and Trump's called them all out. It's obvious, mainstream media and Kamala. So Trump's really fighting a war against her and them. It'll be interesting to see how he navigates that. He certainly has navigated, before when he had, Hillary Clinton, his debates with Hillary. Does Trump have to win this? Does he just not have to lose it? Does Kamala have to make a stand and say, here's what I stand for?
He won't do that.
With Donald Trump standing 15 feet away from her, who's going to say, that's BS?
Yeah, she's not
So
gonna,
it's.
she can't do that. There's no way she can do that, Gary. I could write this script, you could write this script. There, ABC has already leaked the questions to Kamala. I don't even need to see the evidence. They've rehearsed those questions with her, and even then she'll struggle. Donald Trump will be asked every question that puts him on the defensive, like, well, your 34 convictions that are felonies. I mean, that's how it's going to go. And Trump is going to have to do the 180, turn it back on him, and he'll do that. He's good
He
at that.
will. I do have confidence. The point, it's a 90-minute debate, and essentially, let's say they just ask him, Mr. Trump, why do you think you're something or other, will work for the country in the next 4 years? Okay, he gets to spend, I think it's 2 minutes per answer. So there's 2 minutes he gets to spend answering that, laying out his vision. But over the series, over the whole of the debate, if he has to keep saying, look, we don't talk about 34 convictions, and Judge Mershon just postponed sentencing again, and then we've got it on appeal. And I mean, tick tock, tick tock. She will not be put on the defensive.
Yes.
So in the and you know, and look, it's frustrating when people are constantly peppering you with things that aren't true or they're out of context and all of that. You need the patience of Job to not just, be like, screw you. Why aren't you asking her anything hard? And it'll be interesting to see how he handles. It's also interesting to see, he'll be a telltale sign whether she's won or not. I know the media, of course, will say, oh, Trump sucked and she's Queen Kamala. But those polls are going to come in over the next day or two or three after that, and certainly by, within the week. By this time next week, we'll probably know who's going to win the White House. There will be no advantage to her saying, let's debate again, if the polls reflect somehow that she won. Why would she do that again? It's his native territory. So if he stays on point and he stays on message and he doesn't get too much of his time burned up by answering questions he has to constantly deflect from, can he turn that? Can he make that pivot really fast and say, thanks very much, George, but really, that's in the courts, and the courts have gone very well for me. Where everything's on appeal, it's getting heard on appeal. In the meantime, let's stop asking those types of questions. People at home care about, their grocery bills and how much it's, costing to raise their children and put
Yeah.
gas in the car and all that. If he can just make that thing, and then once he's kind of put that stake in the ground. If they come back to it, he say, I'm not answering the question. This is not what the American people, I just said that in the last question or 5 minutes ago or whatever. This is not what the American people care about. They don't care about this. Half the country believes it's all rigged and set up every way. So why would we waste time on that? 100% of the country knows their prices have gone up. George, why aren't you asking her about that? And just walk away from it.
Perfect. I love that
Part of me is like, I
response.
want to be on the stage.
Yeah, just stand there behind him and you can kind of guide him. I want to bring something up to you. It's real interesting. The Democrats already know they're in trouble, and I don't think I'm reaching any longer. We know that she's done one interview in the what the 40 some days that she's had candidacy. She's going to do a contrived debate. The interview she did was contrived and edited, and it was still awful. But here's what I discovered. DirecTV right now and ABC are in this contract dispute, and it's been so bad from ABC's side that DirecTV filed a complaint with the FCC on Saturday. Now, here's what's interesting. There are several markets, eight in particular, that will not see the debate on ABC because of the DirecTV ABC conflict. Service has been suspended. Now, to me, I'm thinking, okay, I wonder if this is part of the Kamala campaign of hiding you from as many people as possible and limiting your exposure to millions of people. Here are the markets: New York, LA, Philadelphia. I forget the top four markets, TV markets, will not see the debate on if and the sixth market and the 10th market in San Francisco. Six of the top 10 markets will not see the debate unless they solve this today. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
They're hiding her from millions of people because they know she's going to get her butt kicked.
Well, again, I think one of the things you have to sort of consider when you're dealing with somebody who's evil-minded or forces that are evil and everything is sometimes, yes, you have to always approach whoever your opponent is as being a worthy opponent, meaning, as we would say at Notre Dame in football, the other side gives scholarships too. So, you can't ever underestimate your opponent, but it doesn't mean that every single move they make is automatically correct and better than yours. You can't deal in a war from that perspective. You have to have confidence in what your plan is based on everything you've done and put together your game plan and all of that. So if those markets are turned off the debate, the only place they're going to see that is on social media. And it's
Right.
going to be all cut up and edited and
Oh.
comments underneath it and the whole bit. I don't know that that's such a wise move, honestly, because in those markets are your blue voters. And, please, really, you think even if Kamala bombs, you think New York City is going to vote for Trump? No.
No.
So, you're depriving your own people of the ability to, I mean, everyone in the country knew Joe Biden was brain dead. By the way, who's running the country right now? Everybody knew that for years. And still they supported him and all this sort of stuff. It's amazing, kind of after the debate where he got knocked out. Well, I should say had a coup committed against him. The numbers really didn't change that much. They only went down for him about a point or two, and they kind of something just happened to us.
Yeah, can you see this?
Oh, yep, sorry. Yes,
Okay,
I am. Look at
you're
that.
absolutely right. I didn't want to let people think that I'm just going off the my backside here and saying unfounded things. These are the 10 top 10 markets in America, okay? And these are the six that will not see the debate on ABC unless that contract dispute. And it's ABC that's throwing ridiculous monkey wrenches in it. And like I said, DirecTV's filed a complaint with the FCC for bad negotiation. And I guarantee you, on Wednesday morning after the debate, this problem will be resolved.
Yeah. They'll fix it about midnight. So Houston won't see the debate. This is on TV. You'll still be able to catch some live stream of it,
Sure,
right?
yes.
Yeah. So I'm
But it's
in the
going to reduce the
television
numbers, though.
markets.
That's my point, Gary. They're going to reduce the number.
Oh, yeah, a lot. So, is that such a smart idea? I mean, the very fact that they're trying to have to come up with some sort of strategy to limit her exposure, which is what they've been doing for the past 40 whatever days. The fact that now they have to do it with a presidential debate tells you where their confidence level is. And that the many of your viewers may not know, because it was probably still a nice weekend in most of the country as the summer starts to fade away. People are outside doing their stuff and everything. The New York Times Siena College poll came out and well, there's a little bit of, a couple of hiccups in there for Trump. There's a lot of problems in that poll for Harris. The first one is that Trump's up on her by 2 points in that poll. And it asked likely voters likely voters is kind of the Democrats' home turf, and they always seem to do well in that. And if you go on to Real Clear Politics and you look at the likely voters' numbers of the polls in the last few days, those likely voter polls are actually trending in Trump's favor. And this New York Times Siena one, I mean, they probably were throwing themselves off building tops at the DNC when this thing came out. Because you go down into it, and you know they're looking for the candidate of change. People want the candidate of change. Country's on the, in the wrong direction. The economy is the number one issue. Inflation's number three, oddly enough, but maybe not so oddly. Abortion is number two. But I think number six or seven was inflation as its own standalone category. You add up immigration, inflation, and economy, you're talking like over 60% of the country views those three things as the top issue, or some mix of them as the top issue. Doesn't bode well for her. She's not seen as the candidate of change. She pops out her policies yesterday. Well, actually today, sorry. I think they went up late last night. But her policies, I mean, I got to tell you, you want a moment? You want a moment? Trump should walk out with a MAGA hat on and just wear it. And at some point in the debate, he doesn't physically go over to it because then they say, oh, you're trying to intimidate a woman. But he should just take it off and say, everything you're saying is what I've been saying for the last almost 8 years. Would you like a MAGA hat? Would you like a MAGA hat, Vice President? I mean, that would be the absolute thug moment, as they refer to it in
You
social
should be
media.
on this campaign staff. These ideas are terrific. I love
He should
them.
have a MAGA hat out there, I'm telling you, and give it to her, fake give it to her.
I love that. Would be a great that's as good as when Hillary Clinton said to Trump, "We can't have someone like that in charge of the justice system." He goes, "Yeah, you're right, because you'd be in
Because
jail."
you'd be in
That was
jail.
a great line, but that I like that idea of MAGA. He pulls it. A folded hat out of his suit and says, "Why are you repeating my policies? Just put the hat on. People know where you
Just
stand
put the
now."
hat on. Hey, all the Democrats are coming over to me anyway. Here's a hat for you. I'll give it to you for free.
What do you make of Tulsi and RFK Jr. abandoning longtime Democratic traditions to support Trump? That is stunning.
Yeah, it is. And I think part of what's going on here, and I actually produced a commentary on this earlier today, be up in an hour or two. You can't really think of it. I mean, yes, Kennedy is like Democratic, blue blood. He's royalty. But there's a major realignment going on in sort of the American body politic. And the idea of Republican versus Democrat is really no longer it. It's going to take a long time to pull that cell apart and have your two new cells, but that process is well underway. And I think it's kind of hit high gear now. I mean, you have somebody like Elon, who is, from everything I've been able to, gather, is agnostic. He's probably a liberal, moderate, somewhat. But what are all these, Tulsi and RFK, even though he's, baptized Catholic and has some echo of some of the Catholic Church's teachings in what he says in some areas, even he's hardly a, paragon of Catholicism. And yet all of these people are drifting towards Trump, not really because of an ideology per se, because I don't know that you'd find an awful lot of in the big tent. I don't know that you'd find a lot of similar ideology. There's a big giant movement within the homosexual community, for example, who are, a big chunk of them are Trump supporters, and they make no bones about it. And that rubs, our feathers sort of the wrong way, and say, wait a minute, blah, blah, blah. But what's causing this? What's causing this realignment is not an ideology, because there are different ideologies in certainly the big tent of, I don't want to call it Republicanism anymore, because it's really not. Because a bunch of the Republicans, the Cheneys, Mitt Romney, Adam Kinzinger, all they're all over here with Kamala, and they've come out publicly and said so this weekend. The division is really kind of between, I don't want to say the have-nots, but the people who just want their liberty and freedom to live their life the way they want, with as little government intrusion, interference, or anything as possible. And if we want to settle something, we're going to settle it in our state legislature with our governor, where we have more control and more like direct, association and closeness to whatever the issue may be. And Washington, D.C., you can go jump in the lake. And then on the other side, you have the Washington, D.C. globalist monster machine that wants to impose taxes and heavy burdens and all this kind of thing. And you've got enough Republicans in that camp, and clearly now enough Democrats over in this camp, big names and otherwise, that I don't think it's really correct to speak anymore in terms of political parties. They still exist. They're still part of the machinery. They have to be, at least for the time being, for the foreseeable future. But what defines a Democrat and what defines a Republican? Those definitions have switched. I mean, they've been completely evacuated now, and there's a whole new thing. Democrats, which is weird. I mean, I grew up and Democrats were the blue collar, labor unions, little man, middle class, blah, blah, blah. And the Republicans were rich white Protestants who just wanted to take care of their billionaire friends. And every 4 years, they'd trick enough people with their campaign ads to get people to vote for them. And then they go back to caring about nothing about the little guy. That's completely reversed now. It's completely reversed. And I don't. It's same names of the parties, two entirely different visions for how to run a country. And that is, again, I think it's an, that sort of came out a little bit in the in this New York Times poll. I don't think you can talk in those terms anymore. You can't totally throw them overboard because there's still some legitimacy to them. But this is a major shifting. Everything is being moved around. It's like when
88.
your mom says, "We're going to change all the furniture."
Yeah.
You're like, as a kid, you go like, running for the hills. You're like, "Oh
Yeah.
no, I got to
I'm
pick up the
not.
couch and move it from here to there. We're going to change the drapes. We're going to paint the walls." So is it the same house? Yeah. But it does, when you walk into it, it just looks and feels completely different. I think it's what you've got actually with both parties.
In most Republican elections in the past, 88 top CEOs would be supporting the Republican candidate. They came out for Kamala. But actually, Gary, I don't think they really want Kamala. Who wants wage and price control? She said it a number of times. It's true. She wants it. Okay, they wouldn't want that. I think they're hedging their bet. I think they're afraid she will win and don't want to be punished. And they want to be on the winning side, the favorite side. But I think they'll probably, when they walk in the voting booth, vote for Trump.
Well, and the other thing, don't forget that a lot of those companies, I mean, they profit tremendously off the lower wages that are being paid to illegal
Okay.
workers
The illegal
and
aliens.
illegal immigrants.
Yeah, that's a good
Yeah. I
point.
mean, you've got, 88 of the top 100, of the Fortune 500. And really, why would they want to jack up American citizens' wages and hit their bottom line when they can have, Pedro or Juan from, Venezuela working for them if they're going to work and you finally hand back their government handouts? And work for $1.30 an hour, and nobody's going to say anything because nobody wants to upset the apple cart. So, I mean, think about back, a year and a half ago, and the whole argument was going on about is there a crisis or is there not. I remember Nancy Pelosi standing there and saying, "Well, who's going to pick the lettuce?" I mean, yeah, that's what they think about. Who's going to go to Florida and harvest the crops there? And who's going to pick the oranges? And I mean, that's how they view these people, the party of compassion and human dignity and human freedom and all of that. I mean, they just see these people on the economic level anyway. They just see these people as, lower wages.
Well,
And
I Gary, I think they're also seeing them as disruptors. And here's what I mean. The
yeah.
TV gang that's terrorizing Aurora right now, and of course, the sanctuary city officials from the governor on down are trying to cover it up. There's a few city council people that aren't. But here's what I found out. They're the TDA gang, and they're armed with things like sniper rifles. I never heard of a gangster having a sniper rifle, but they're in eight cities
How do you
now.
get that across the border?
Well, no, this is something I report on a lot. A lady named Pam, and she won't say any more than that, and she runs a hotel that's housing some of these people at double the existing rate. She said weapon caches are coming in every single day.
Absolutely.
Let me throw this at you as a theory. I'm wondering this. It's a hypothesis only. But why are these gangs being allowed to proliferate in great number and being extremely well armed? And I think the answer might lie in this. If Kamala gets her rear end handed to her in this debate, they got to look at it and say, can we win? And if there's all this domestic violence going on, it could be a precursor for martial law. And we'll still have an election, but we're going to do more of it remote so we could cheat even more. It's just a hypothesis I have working right now.
When these gangs would be called into action, I think is kind of anybody's guess. And it's like you said, maybe she gets her butt handed to her and that's it. And, but it's circumstantial. But nonetheless, there are millions of, military aged men, early 20s-ish or so, who all have cell phones. Who could be have a mass tweet, a mass text sent to them and or sent to their particular leaders of their group or their cell, who then texts them his members. And I mean, and might that happen kind of after the debate if she gets her butt handed to her, and so it becomes a pretext for martial law. Let's say they go ahead, they don't do it, they hold their powder. Trump wins. Legitimately wins, and no win of Kamala's will be a legitimate win. It just won't be. But let's say Trump wins, overcomes the cheat, all that stuff, too big to rig, blah, blah, blah. Now there's 10 weeks to go. What's okay? Activate them now. Declare martial law. Freeze the, anything could happen. They've got the levers of power at their disposal, and have exercised them even somewhat furtively to date. I mean, they're really not going to do that. It's power they want because they want to be able to destroy. They want power to destroy. That's why I keep saying over and over and over and over and over again, the devil is their father. They don't care about building anything. They care about destroying. And that's what they want the power for. They want the power to destroy. So if they don't get the power to destroy, they still have the means, at least in their calculus, they still have the means to do some destruction. And perhaps, hey, why not at that point, you put a Hail Mary pass up. Maybe we can, he won, but maybe we can prevent him from taking the oath of office. Maybe we can assassinate him again, try, before, he actually takes the oath, before he gets there. You've got people inside the government. They're going to know where Trump is. He's got a Secret Service detail attached. And if I was Trump, I'd have my four layers of private, private security all the way around me. And I'd make sure every one of them is vetted, vetted enormously.
Well,
They'll
Gary,
know
along
where he
those
is.
lines, I got to tell you, I wouldn't have the secrets as long as Roe is in charge because he was complicit in the lack of organization in Butler. Okay, so as long as he's involved with this, I'd have my own private security team and I would rotate leadership so they couldn't get compromised. And this is what happened to Kennedy. And this is something I know a little bit about. I used to lecture on this. Kennedy's Secret Service protection was totally compromised going into Dealey Plaza. And, this is the way you kill leaders. In fact, there was a manual that came out called the Manual for Assassination CIA 1961, and it was geared towards Latin America. The number one thing you do is compromise the protection. And this is
Of
what Trump,
course.
they're not going to stop with one attempt. That's my opinion.
No, I've actually been kind of curious why it's some. I know he's got like the big plexiglass screen around him and all that and everything now, but I mean, their lives would be so much easier if they got him now before the election. Now you might say, well, is that a smart move? Kind of like shutting off the feed to six of the top 10 markets, the feed of the debate. Live stream of the debate, is that a smart move? I mean, they're game playing every single one of these scenarios at the
Yes.
DNC. Should we kill him? Should we not? Should we have Mershon stick him behind bars or should we not?
Bingo.
Should we declare martial law? Should we not? Should we activate all of our, rogue millions and millions of dudes who we've armed all over the country and put in, had you, the taxpayers, pay for, or should we not? And if we should, when should we do it? I mean, this is like 9D chess right now. And, they have one goal, keep power and then lock it down,
It's true.
which kind of is Trump's goal also. But Trump kind of reminds me of if you were to personify the relationship in the movie Gladiator between Marcus Aurelius and Maximus, where he says, you must save Rome, and must give it to you. And then once you're there and you've done what, killed Commodus, Commodus, you have to restore power to the people of Rome. That's kind of what this all seems like. And Commodus do? He plunged that thing into him. He had him arrested. He got the guys to betray him. He threatened his own sister with the death of her child. I mean, they'll stop at nothing, is my point. And I
Yeah,
think there's a really cool parallel there, an analogy. They will stop at nothing in order to maintain and increase and lock down their power. And brother, if they get it, we are done. People who
no,
consider themselves patriots, we're done. I mean,
my
you
undergraduate
may
degree.
not be killed, you'll be in jail, but.
No, I agree. Listen, you just hit a main point here, and I've been hitting on this hard with my audience. We've gone through a coup. You and I are the counter coup trying to get our country back. What
Yep.
follows a coup? Consolidation of power. And how do
Absolutely.
communists do it? And these people are Bolshevik communists. They do it through a purge. And this is why communism and body bags are synonymous. And when you say we're done, we could literally be done. Literally.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a, the whole gun control thing, I don't know that. Look, sometimes history forces the hand of even the bad guys, and they have to do something before they might be ready to do it, or they're not certain whether they should do it right now. I mean, God is still the Lord of history. And so they have to play with the hand they're dealt, just like all of us do. But you're like, do they really want to turn, some immigrant militia loose in various states? I mean, you might be able to get an armed militia to, do your will marching down Fifth Avenue in New York, or most of the people would probably cheer them. But you put those guys in Texas or Arkansas or, Missouri, there might be a bloodbath, because there's gonna be an awful lot of Americans. There's more
Well,
guns in America held by private citizens than there are citizens.
that's
So,
an excellent point
they've done
here.
everything they can try to do to disarm the public, and they've struck out every single time.
If they unleash those people on us and the citizens have to band together to defend themselves, that force could also be turned against this government. I think that's the calculation they need to look at. I
Yeah,
would be worried.
I think if you do that, they cannot have a plausible deniability. I mean, when
That's right.
Trump is done on that stage tomorrow night, it will be loud and clear, if it isn't already. And I think it probably is already, because that New York Times poll said, the border crisis is her fault. But I mean, you get up to 60, 70, 80% of people saying it's them, and all of a sudden waves and various encampments of illegal immigrants start going around shooting and killing Americans and raid. I mean, you're doing it in Aurora, Colorado, and a couple other places. That, like, multiply that times 1,000. I agree. I think at that point, I think you, I think you actually start shooting and killing, and I think you head to D.C. And I really do think it's that serious. Who you're shooting and killing, I don't know. It's just because this isn't the Civil War. It's like the guys in blue and the guys in gray, and here's the state line. It's not that simple. But I don't know. A lot of people may have missed over the weekend a tweet that I'm sorry, I'm saying a tweet, a post that Trump put out on social media. And I was like, wow, I mean, I completely agree with it, but I was like, wow, that's pretty clearly stated. And I don't know what the right word is, re-exed it. I usually have to change the name of the platform to something that is more verb friendly. I reposted it, and he just flat out said, when I win, we're dragging people responsible for what happened in 2020 and everything that's happened since then. We're dragging them before the courts, and we're holding them accountable. And I was like, whoa, just said that out loud. And there it is. So,
Well, they're lucky in one sense. We have Gitmo, but unlike the Bastille, we don't have guillotines. So these people should be fortunate and consider their worst fate is jail. And they do belong in jail. But the thing is I've
Not if
done a deep
not
dive.
if they're tried and found guilty of treason, Dave. I mean, the Constitution calls. I mean, there isn't like, oh, you can, you know, we're either gonna, shoot you or execute you for treason, or we're gonna give you 20 years in prison with chance of parole at 9 years. That's not provided for in the Constitution. If you're found guilty of treason, Eddie Slovak is the last U.S. citizen to be found guilty of treason in the sense that he went AWOL and deserted his post in World War II, and he was executed for it. Private Eddie Slovak is a great movie. Martin Sheen played the main
Right.
character. I don't know. Can you execute, put Chuck Schumer on trial, put Obama on trial for treason? Look at the discussion that we're having right now.
It's
This is how bad things
yeah,
are.
it is. We couldn't have had a legitimate discussion like this 5 years ago.
Oh, no,
No.
absolutely not.
People would have
Although
laughed
quite a
us
number of
right off the air.
people suspected that, Obama and Susan Rice and that whole oligarchy of, globalists and the whole bit and everything, we kind of expected that this is all the point. By the way, the people who'd be brought up on, charges of treason wouldn't be limited to Democrats. Liz Cheney.
Dick Cheney,
Are you listening, Adam Kinzinger? You listening?
the Carlyle Group, the Atlantic Council.
Yeah.
That's who the deep state is. And I'm starting
Yeah.
to expose this over time because it's so voluminous. You can't overwhelm people. But yeah, we now know the public can find out who the deep state is if they just want to do the research. It's not
Sure.
difficult. It's not difficult. It's the ex-CIA heads, for example. It's every FBI director now going back to 9/11. There's no mystery to who's doing this to us. And this is why Trump is so outnumbered. Here's what scares me, Gary. I want to get your take on this. They've already tried to kill him. Okay. They've tried lawfare. Now that's fading. I think their next option is to either do the terrorism or to go back to trying to kill him. What do you think?
Yes, I mean, I think they play every card in their hand. If you're a card player, and I don't mean poker, but if you're in those like gin rummy games or euchre, they play in the Midwest or whatever, you play any of those types of games, there's a kind of a back and forth that you're playing with your partner, and they lay a card and they lead into you playing your card back, and sure, yeah. Terrorism, violence, who they have the entire apparatus working for them. I mean, we're going to have the jobs numbers for September released in the beginning of October, and that'll be the last jobs report. And of course, you can't trust a bloody thing they say. Every single jobs number has been revised downward this entire year. There is actually a million fewer, there are a million fewer jobs that have been added to the economy than what Biden and Harris were, walking around and touting. So everything is a lie from these guys. Again, the devil is their father. This isn't hard to figure out. The devil is their father. The Son of God said he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. These guys lie about everything, and they murder people, starting with children in the womb and everything on the way up. They just try, a child in the womb all the way up to an attempted murder anyway of a former US president who's the lead candidate for winning re-election, and everything in between. They throw pro-lifers in jail for praying out in front of abortion chambers. They arrest parents at school boards for being concerned that the people sitting up there, those little power puppets, those Karens sitting up there on those boards, want to like put horrible crap into their children's minds. I mean, they're lucky those people aren't taken out and back and shot for what they're trying to do to children. So yeah, it's a quite a this is quite the we are seeing we've on the society, the nation, the body politic has unraveled. Now the question is it going to be able to be sewn back together and have a semblance of its original form. And in order to do that, there's going to have to be many few thousands of people put in jail.
I agree with that. Totally agree with that.
Or is the unraveling going to just be complete and that's it? You know, what's the moment going to look like? I always call it sort of the photo op, my experience in media. Like, what's the photo op of all of this? You know, if you remember when the hammer and sickle came down over the Kremlin in 1991, 1990, yeah, 91, and the Russian flag, not the flag of the USSR, but the Russian flag went up. That's a photo op. It's like, wow, this is the very last thing you need to see as the people, as the low information voters, as everything. Oh, the flag isn't sitting, the usual flag isn't sitting on top of that capital anymore. Now it's the red, white, and blue Russian Republic flag. Well, what is that moment, if it comes to that, what will that moment look like here? What would be the flag they raise? They're not going to raise a hammer and sickle, or would they? Would the flag be red?
Pride flag,
Those,
maybe.
you
Or
know,
what?
what would that photo op be to signal we've won, and the old, you know, we are no longer burdened by the past.
As Kamala likes to say, yeah, you know, that's a
What
phrase
can
right out of the
be
communist.
unburdened by the past?
That's a phrase that comes directly out of the Communist Manifesto.
That's Karl Marx's language. Absolutely, it is. It's almost a direct quote. When he said unburdened by the past, he meant everything, like she does. Of course, there's things you want to unburden yourself from the past that were mistakes and missteps and, you know, even, you know, societal evils, slavery, for example, or whatever. Of course, you want to unburden yourself from those things. But we are in process of doing that. We are in process of doing that. You know, you're unburdening. Now, are you burdening yourself with new stuff? Sure, you kill 1 million children a year in the womb. Well, you got to unburden yourself from that eventually, too. But that's the point over here in this not particularly religious, certainly not theological group of Trump and Elon and RFK and Tulsi. And, you know, Tucker's probably the most religious one if you were to name those five. I don't even know what Vivek's theological leanings are, but they all operate on goodwill. They all seem to operate on some level by plugging in here and there into natural virtue. You know, and as Christians, that's something you can work with. I mean, you're not sitting across from the table wondering if the person wants to kill you. Whereas when you're sitting across the table from, you know, Kamala and the Democratic Communist Party, they do want to kill you. You bow down or we're going to kill you. So, you know, who would you rather be negotiating your point from? Because whatever point, whatever side you would be trying to make your Christian, we have to try to be Christian, maybe not through some kind of theocracy, but we have to spread Christian, proper Christian influence throughout the culture again. Right now, that negotiating position is a position of weakness, whichever side you're talking to. So I'd ask you, which side would you rather be talking to? These guys over here who will give you a hearing, an honest hearing. They may not agree with you. They may not even do anything it is you want them to do, but they're not going to kill you. This side will absolutely kill you. They'll take your children away. They'll shut down your homeschools. The department, all the everything, the entire power of the federal bureaucracy will go into overdrive on steroids, and everything will be wiped out in its path and remade into a kingdom of darkness.
You know, if my audience closes their eyes, they're going to think it's me who just said what you said. And you know, so many of us are saying the same thing though right now because it's omnipresent. By the way, when I went to the Tucker event 5 days ago, Russell Brand was his guest, and at
Yeah, it was great. I watch a lot of those clips on Twitter.
the conclusion, Russell Brand got on his knees and prayed to Jesus. It was people. Or in tears.
That was it's very powerful. This is the bits and pieces. One of my very dear friends was there, you know, at the event, and was just sort of moved by the whole thing. And what was the I think I knew, but I forgot. What was the venue that Tucker Russell Brand event was in? Where was it?
Where the
I know it was in
Phoenix Suns
Phoenix,
play
but
basketball.
so including the floor space and the arena capacity, how many thousands of people were there?
Hard to estimate because I don't know how many of the floor holds. The lower bowl, they didn't have the upper bowl open, but the lower part of it holds about 13 to 14,000 people. But the entire court was filled with people, arm to arm. So I'm going to say it was well in excess of 20,000 people.
That's an awful lot. Who paid to get in there?
$86 a ticket.
Wow. Who paid to get in there? Unlike the people who hop on Kamala's buses who actually get paid to show up, these people paid out of their own pockets to be there.
Yes. What a
There you
great.
go again. Communism, capitalism.
Yeah. I want to ask you one quick question here before we close. If the poop hits the fan against the people, do you think any divisions, military units are going to break away from the establishment and defend the people? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we've had these types of discussions with quite a few friends. I mean, if you are a patriot and you are in the military or the police force, you know, or whatever form of law enforcement, you know, local civilian law enforcement or whatever, how's that going to play out? You know, you took an oath ultimately to the Constitution. You know, you didn't take it. You know, it's not like the Third Reich where you took an oath to Hitler. You know, himself, you took an oath to, you know, defend, you know, the Constitution. And I don't know, if you're a Christian, do you consider it a dereliction of duty, moral duty before God, to accept an order to go kill Americans and shoot them in their homes and arrest them and firing squads and, you know, martial law and all this kind of thing? I think not. Will there be some? Oh, of course there will be. Of course there will be. So I'm saying you're seeing like a cell, giant cell, going through its first like fusion, like pulling apart. And what will it all look like? You know, there is a Texit movement here in Texas. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, I've X'd out, tweeted out, whatever the word is, quite a few times. You know, if this goes south from the Patriots' point of view, so-called Christians are going to have to make some hard choices.
That's
You really
true.
going to pay into, you're going to pay into a system that's used to be weaponized against your family in another state by a federal bureaucracy? Are you going to, you know, the U.S. Department of Education starts pumping, you know, billions more into the public school system where your kids are so that they can be, you know, mutilated without even your knowledge or consent and have all the crap spoon-fed into their brains by, you know, the teachers union that's in the tank for, I mean, you know, I have to say, on the one level, while this is all kind of frightening and ominous and there's this giant horrible specter in the whole bit, I gotta say, on the one level, hell or high water, I'm glad it's happening. It's good to know who your enemy is.
That's true.
And these guys have been able to fly under the radar. You know, it's again, I'll go back to a football analogy. It's like, you know, you're standing in the stands. You know, the one that reminds me of, actually, this is a real story. I was standing at a Notre Dame Southern Cal game in South Bend, gosh, years ago. And, you know, Southern Cal is Notre Dame's like horrible, you know, enemy, the nemesis of all history and, you know, mankind and all that. And there are three guys standing kind of beside me. They had these Notre Dame paraphernalia on, and at halftime they took it off, took their shirts off, and they had Southern Cal jerseys on underneath, and they start cheering for USC and the whole bit and everything. You know, you're talking during timeouts and stuff with people in the stands, and they're like, "What'd you guys do? What are you doing?" And I'm like, well, you know, if we figured we came in here with our, you know, Southern Cal stuff on, we get heckled and booed, we wouldn't be bothered with it. So here we are now, go Trojans. And I was like, wow, if that isn't a political statement. So the media has been able to hide, wear the jersey of, you know, objectivity. The Democrats have been able to wear the jersey of caring about the little guy. You know, the irreligious left has worn the jersey of caring about religious values and the poor and social justice and all that. Rip those jerseys off and let's see who the hell you really are underneath there. And now we see who you are. Okay, boys, put them up. Let's go. And I think that's what is happening now. And you know what? The dust will settle. All of these kinds of things do come to an end. They don't come to an end without great sacrifice, probably cost of lives. But it's always good to know who's on your side and who is on the other side.
That's
It's
true.
always good to know that.
Well, Gary, we're out of time, but I want to let the audience know how they can best follow you and support you.
Come to soulsandliberty.com, soulsandliberty.com. They say you got to say it three times, soulsandliberty.com. We've got a great group of people. I'm just kind of like the bigger mouth of the group of people here, but we all believe the exact same thing on all of this and, fight and understand that ultimately this is a spiritual war because the other side is led by the devil. They don't have to acknowledge that. We acknowledge, at least many of us on this side, acknowledge that Christ is king and we follow him and all of that, even if Elon doesn't and, Tulsi Gabbard doesn't. It's not the point. They still are operating with their natural virtue, at least to some degree.
I agree.
This side doesn't need to out loud say, we worship Satan. They don't need to, but they do. You can tell by their actions. By their
Judge
fruits, you
them
will
by the
know
fruit
them.
of
And
their
sure
actions.
enough,
I
that's
couldn't have
it.
said any better. Gary, thanks so much for joining us. This went very quickly. I've never had such a quick hour, but thanks so
Yeah,
much
this was an
for
hour. Wow.
this. I know
That's
that
what
was my
happens
reaction
when you
too.
invite a big mouth Irishman on, Dave. Just you can go away and go get some coffee. I'll take over for you for a bit.
Well, hey, I'm going to have you back on. We'll get some
Thank
reactions as
you.
things unfold, but thanks so much for coming on, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. And again, God bless you for all of your work and God bless your viewers and supporters for helping you out and backing you up. God
You too.
bless you.
You too. Good day, everybody.